Well, word on the street is that you guys want to do some caroling. That's all I'm hearing about. That's all anybody's talking about. So you want to? You want to do some caroling? Now, I need help because I'm not great at remembering song lyrics. So if I stop, I need you to keep going, okay? Can we do that? Jingle bells, jingle bells. Okay, that's good. Frosty the... Good. So I also lose interest in songs real fast. So that's another... Oh, there's no place like... Great, you got it. So, you know, caroling... Yeah. So the thing about caroling, it's not just Christmas songs, right? It's any song we sing together, right? Stars at night, big and bright. Good. And all my exes. Good. Amarillo by. Good. Man, you guys got it. That's great. So what do all those songs have in common? They're about the greatest country there's ever been, Texas, right? So they're about a place, right? Pride and a place. You know, a lot of music captures pride about where we're from or where we like to go. So we're going to end with a song about a place. It's a little harder, but I believe in some of you. So let's see. Oh, little town of... That was a joke for the worship team. That's an inside baseball right there. Bethlehem. Not a booming metropolis, right? It's not a fashion-forward setter of trends. The title even says it's little. It's a sleepy town. The silent stars go by. So why a song about Bethlehem? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him, "In Bethlehem." So the little sleepy town of Bethlehem was the birthplace of the Savior of the world. From an inconsequential place came the most important birth of all time. From a town that was filled with deep and dreamless sleep comes Emmanuel, God with us. So we're in week two of our Advent sermon series where we're looking at Christmas songs and the hope, peace, joy, and love that Jesus brought and brings to this world. Advent means coming. Jesus comes into our broken, into our violent world to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. And today we live in that tension between when he first came and when he will return. But we live in that tension knowing it has a beautiful end, that Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. He will come back to save us. That is a truth. But right now, there is a purpose for us living in this tension today. And that purpose is greater than anything the world wants us to know or even anything we could tell ourselves. So let's pray, and we'll ask God to open our hearts and our minds, and then we will look at our song for today. God, thank you for being here. Thank you for the miracle of baptism, that you are a God of miracles, bringing us from death to life. Open our hearts and our minds to that truth, the truth of who you are. Help us to lift our eyes up from ourselves, from this world, to look to you and to see you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we looked at the song, O Come, Emmanuel. We saw that Jesus came to bring us out of exile from God's presence. And while most Christmas songs are bright and bubbly, O Come, Emmanuel is somber and lamenting. It's in a sad minor key, right? Major is happy, while minor is sad. And O Come, O Come, Emmanuel brings us from the mourning of God's absence into the hope of his presence. We talked about the difference between major and minor sounds. Major wishes you a happy birthday. Minor warns of a shark attack. Today, we're going to learn a new sound for a new song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. First, I need to explain this musical idea. I'll hip you to it, as the cool cats would say. I won't say that, but they would. So modern Western music, like 99% of the music you've ever heard, comes from 12 notes. That's it. There are lower and higher versions of them, but that's it. It's 12 notes. And the majority of popular music takes only 8 of those notes to make a song. That's it. But O Little Town of Bethlehem immediately steps outside of that box. It starts major, then it pivots. That's not major or minor, something altogether different. This is diminished. Not in the family, not expected. Major is happy, minor is sad. Diminished means somebody's tied to train tracks. Totally unexpected musical move, right? Which reflects the totally unexpected birth of our Savior. So we read before that King Herod asked the wise men where Christ would be born, and they said Bethlehem. Now King Herod's kind of cornered the wise men, and he said, well, hey, when you find that baby, bring him to me so I can worship him. The truth is, King Herod knew who Jesus was. King Herod wanted to remain king. He didn't want to lose his throne, so his plan was to eliminate the threat so he could stay king. He was clever, but the wise men were, they were wise, yeah. So they found Jesus, they worshiped him, then they followed God's guidance to avoid Herod. And then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all in that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time he had ascertained from the wise men. If you can't beat them, kill them. That was Herod's motto, right? He couldn't find Jesus, so he said, well, then I'll just kill every boy who's 2 or under. Pretty drastic measure. So what does that tell us? That Herod knew who Jesus was. Herod knew that he himself was an imposter, a fraud. But King Herod knew that Jesus was the true king. So how did the wise men know the true identity of this baby? Right, it said he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born, and they told him in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. The wise men knew this was Christ because the prophet had announced it hundreds of years prior. They were educated men. They knew the Old Testament. They had been waiting for this prophecy to be fulfilled. Now, check this out. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? They didn't come to him and say, hey, where's this baby that we heard about? They came to him and they said, where is the baby who is born king? The wise men knew that Jesus was the true king. And they knew this because of the ancient words of the prophet. Let's look at those words. They're in the book of Micah. That is like just right to the center of your Bible or right on the center of this screen. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. An unexpected move on God's part. The king would come from little old Bethlehem. Unexpected, out of the ordinary, out of those same old eight notes. Now this chapter is bookended by verses that warn the people of war on both ends, but both times they are rescued by this promised ruler, Jesus. And here's what we see in the book of Micah. There's a problem. God's people face the attack of their enemies. Then there's a solution. It's not a what, but it's a who. The solution is Jesus, born in Bethlehem and born in the hearts of his people. Then we're told what he'll do. He will stand and shepherd his flock, and he will be their peace. And remember, this comes from a baby. It doesn't come from a giant warrior with eyes of fire, a supercharged challenger, and a pit bull. It comes from a baby, right? He's born out in the sticks, not in the Ritz. He was a king who was swaddled in a manger, not in a palace. Totally unexpected. So should we ever give up hope that God can do the unexpected, that he can do the miraculous? I don't think we should. Okay, let's get back to our song. Let's see how it handles this twist. Musically, we are back home. It's got this. We're back home. The words capture sleepy Bethlehem above the deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by. Now, everything changes. Not only do we have a note outside of the key, outside of those eight notes, we totally change keys. I'll do this just because it's fun. So we totally change keys. The lyrics capture this too. Yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. Into darkness light comes. In a lifeless town the fullness of life is born, and the hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. O little town of Bethlehem captures the peace that King Jesus gives, that the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus. Every hope that's ever been stirred in your heart is from Jesus. Every fear you've ever had is conquered by Jesus. We saw this as the wise men were hopefully waiting for the Messiah, and they found him in Jesus. King Herod feared losing his throne and went on a killing spree, but even that God used to fulfill another prophecy by Jesus being raised in Nazareth. We saw it in Micah. God's people feared attack. They feared their enemies. They hoped for a shepherd, a protector who would bring peace. Their fears were conquered and their hopes were fulfilled in Jesus. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus. So we have to ask, is this true for us today? What do you hope for? What do you fear? Ferns? Do you suffer from pteridophobia, the fear of ferns? Or what's it called? Olophobia, the fear of flutes? Some band parents were here last service and said yes. Hopefully it's not anatophobia, the fear of being watched by a duck. These fears are genuine for some people. They really are. Thankfully, most phobias like this we can avoid to some extent. So we ask, well, what can we not avoid? Right? It's a long list, but I kind of think at the core, it boils down to three things we see in Micah: fear of man, fear of God, and fear of the future. So let's look at these three fears and see how Jesus meets us in them. First, fear of man. What is fear of man? Or fear of people? Well, do you find your worth based on what people think or say about you? It's hard not to, right? But that can turn into a trap. We can get stuck in believing that our value is grounded in people's approvals. Fearing people is a dangerous trap, but trusting in the Lord means safety, Proverbs tells us. And it's normal to want encouragement, right? Positive feedback is good and motivating, but it shouldn't define us. And maybe you had a parent who didn't treat you like the treasure that you were. Maybe you have a spouse who doesn't honor you like the gift that you are. Or maybe you have a coworker or a boss or a teacher who doesn't honor you as one who's made in the image of God. But you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And that's your worth. That Jesus was given for you. Jesus takes what we've inherited in a broken world from broken people, and he redeems it. Jesus meets us in our fear, and he turns it to hope. He meets us in the fear of man. He also meets us in the fear of God. Why would we fear God? We're told he's our heavenly Father, right? You may have a sincere fear of your earthly father. Or your earthly father may not have been around. He may have left, and then you've felt less valuable since. But God shows his love for you that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. Jesus meets us in our fear of God and turns it into hope through a relationship with him, and God won't leave us. He came to us. Jesus came from the little town of Bethlehem to save us and to be our peace. Now, I know the phrase fear of God can trip us up, so let's look a little closer. Proverbs tells us it's the fear of the Lord that's the beginning of wisdom. There are two kinds of fear. First, there's a fear that drives us away. We're scared, we get away. Like if a lion came in that back door right there, we would be terrified, and an appropriate response would be to run. Appropriate, but probably not effective. There's another kind of fear that makes us lean in and draw close. So our family was at the lion exhibit at the zoo. My experience has been that the lions are always taking a cat nap, or lion nap, feline siesta, as it were. But on this day, a strong, intimidating male lion walked right up to the window. My daughter May was standing on the platform right in front of the window. She was like 6 or 7 at the time, just looking at the lion. He came up. They were separated by maybe 3 feet. He looked in her eyes and released the loudest sound I've ever heard come out of a living creature. His roar literally shook the ground. Like, we felt it as much as we heard it. And somehow, we all ended up about six feet back from where we were. The whole family was behind me. I like to tear my shoulder pushing May back out in front of me. I said, it's you he wants. Just you go. We were terrified. We were in fear. But we knew we were safe. So we wanted to lean in. We wanted to see the source of this power. We wanted to be closer, right? After seeing and hearing the power of the lion, we wanted to experience more because it created reverence and awe. And that's the kind of fear we should have for God, to know he is all powerful, yet drawing close because we know he loves us. Knowing that he has the power and the right to wipe us away because of things we've done, but knowing he loves us so much, he gave his son to make it right. Jesus meets us in our fear of God and turns it into hope. And finally, because we are finite creatures, we tend to have a fear of the future. But as we sing here often at Grace Lindale, I may not know what the day will bring, but I know who brings the day. Amen? Amen. We know this world is broken, but we know God is good. We know our world celebrates sin, but we know Jesus has overcome sin. Disease is a symptom of this temporary home, But praise God, one day he will restore our bodies and make all things new. Physical death is a part of this earthly experience, but Jesus robbed death of its sting. Jesus meets us in our fear of the future and even encourages us and tells us, in me you have peace. Yeah, in this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. God has plans for you that are secure in Jesus. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus. He meets us in our fear of man, of God, and of the future, and turns them to hope. He even did this at his birth. Luke 2 says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The shepherd's fear was met in Jesus. And he was born in the city of David, which is the little town of Bethlehem. Good news of great joy. Our Savior has come and will return to save his people. So I got to ask you, are you his people? If you've never considered Jesus or never accepted him as your Savior, I have to tell you, he is your Savior. He has already done the work to save you. He has paid the price for your bad choices, for your faults, for your mistakes, for the current things you're wrapped up in. And you know what? For the future mistakes you don't even know you're going to make. He knows, and he paid the price for it. And he invites you to take the free gift. He said, I've done it. All you do is take it. And the most beautiful part of it is he doesn't wait for you to get it all together before you come to him, because you never will. No one in this room who knows Jesus as their Savior got their life together before they came to him. Your granny, who had the strong faith, she didn't. We can never be good enough to earn the free gift of grace that God gives us in Jesus. We just need to see our need and accept the free gift, because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is your Savior. He showed his love by what he endured on the cross, by his sacrifice. And you know what? He could have avoided that. He did not have to do that. He endured it because he loves you. So if you do know Jesus as your Savior, I got a question. What are your hopes and your fears? Like, what excites you and gets you out of bed in the morning? Or what overwhelms you and keeps you in bed in the morning? And whatever that is, are you inviting Jesus into it? Because he meets us in our hopes and our fears, but the thing about meeting is it takes him and us. The hopes and the fears of all the years are met in Jesus. We're going to see the depth of that in a moment when we take communion together. When we were born into this broken world, we received a wound that we can't heal. And it separates us from God. But the wounds Jesus received when he was on the cross are our healing. His blood that was poured out washes us clean. And we are made whole because his body was broken. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus. How about we end like we started? With some caroling. I'm all sung out, but we are going to talk about one last part of our song. We sang a lot of songs about pride and places, right? Well, this is not about a place, but about a person. It's not somewhere we go, but it's about the one who came to us. Let's look at the last verse of O Little Town of Bethlehem. It says, O Holy Child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell, "Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel." Jesus is born in us. When we accept him, it is no longer us who lives, but he who lives in us. And as he enters into our life, he casts out sin. So hear the voice of the angels. Invite him into your heart. Invite him into your hopes and fears, because he came to abide with us. Emmanuel, God with us, came for you, comes to you now, and will come back to save you, because the hopes and the fears of all the years are met in Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for meeting us right where we are and for loving us so much that you don't leave us there, but you draw us closer to you. That you enter in and you cast out sin. That you give us hope and a future. That you give us peace and joy and love, because you came into our violent and broken world. May we be changed by that. May it not just be something that we agree with, but something that changes the core of who we are through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let's stand up and do some caroling. Come on. You can be seated, and we're going to take communion together. We do this because a baby was born to set us free. To set us free from the wound we received when we were born into this broken world that we couldn't fix on our own. We couldn't be healed by our own effort, but we're healed by what's represented here. That the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. That his body that was broken is what makes us whole. And we do this because we live in a world that wants to pull us away from that truth. We have an enemy who wants to pull us away from the truth of who we are in Christ. So we do this to remind ourselves and to proclaim, this is who I am. I am known and loved by Jesus. So on the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave thanks and he says, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and says, this cup is the new covenant confirmed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it to remember me. Thank you, Jesus, that your sacrifice has brought us into the presence of God, has cast out our sin, that your suffering is our redemption, that we're healed by your wounds, that we're made whole by your love for us. We thank you, Jesus. We praise you. Amen.